You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 61. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Almer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to another exciting interview here in the Profit in Your PJs podcast. Today's interview is powerful, and it's truly a story that you simply must hear, especially if you think you have challenges in your business. So I invite you to clear out all distractions, shut off your texting, shut off Facebook, Twitter, your email, anything that you may be doing. If you're driving, you know, buckle down and get ready, because this is a story of just extreme fortitude and truly persistence in getting the job done. Well, this lady, gosh, from running a successful family business to finding network marketing to running into troubles with the federal government to court to a shocking sentence to prison to success again, and now she's a speaker and trainer on a worldwide stage. And like I said, you think you have challenges in your business? When I first met Lisa Grossman, it was March 2013 at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals event in Dallas, where we both spoke on the social media panel. Somehow, I had missed her name in our network marketing profession until about a year earlier. I was listening to an interview she did with Eric Worre, and I became intrigued to meet and get to know this strong, yet gentle, ambitious, yet kind, seasoned, and sweet person. Today, the opportunity to interview her and draw out a little of her story brings me huge joy and a sense of satisfaction. So you can get the show notes over at jackiealmer.com/061 with resources that we'll share. But first, thanks to our sponsors who support the show. Today's show sponsor is Building Local with SocialMedia.com. You know, many people who go online do so to reach outside of their local area, but imagine the team you could build using tools of the internet right in your own backyard. There are dozens, hundreds, even thousands of people who are right in your city or town who are looking for an answer to the financial crunch. They're looking for the solution you offer, but how do you find them? Today, with sites like Meetup.com, Facebook, and LinkedIn, you can find, network with, and get to know some very viable prospects before you ever set foot outside your home. Learn more by going to buildinglocalwithsocialmedia.com. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Lisa. Lisa Grossman began her business career working in a family-owned traditional business. In 1988, she was introduced to network marketing, and she had the good fortune to become part of a company that in the late 1980s and early 1990s was a starting point for where some of the greatest network marketing professionals of today began their careers. As she worked her way up through the compensation program in that first company, she was working hand in hand with the best of the best. You know how you hear, find a good mentor. Lisa has since become known throughout the industry as an elite professional. She and her business partner, Curtis Broom, are black diamonds with an international company and have an organization of more than 150,000 worldwide, generating a seven-figure annual income for their position. However, in addition to being a top performer and annual million-dollar earner, she fully understands the business side of the profession to such an extent that she is constantly sought out by companies and leadership teams for her insight, guidance, and coaching expertise. In early 2008, Lisa and Curtis co-founded Your Vision Partners, Inc., and together they continue to consult for multiple companies on domestic and international expansion, product development, operations, as well as provide in-depth training for company executives, top field leadership, and their teams on the foundations of success in the network marketing profession. Please help me welcome Lisa Grossman to our stage here at the Profit in Your PJs podcast.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for taking the time to be here today and share what I know is going to really help create some defining moments for many who have the opportunity to hear it. And I'm so inspired by you, and I've been so anxious to get you on the show and chat with you, so I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Jackie. I am a big fan and just, you know, humbled and delighted that y'all was asked.
Well, absolutely. Well, let's get into the meat of things. But before we do, before we get into the specific questions, do you have a favorite success quote to share?
Well, I'll tell you, I live by motivational quotes, so I have so many. And narrowing it down was tough, but I went with this one because it just has always resonated with me. It's Eleanor Roosevelt, and it's "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." And that's just
fabulous.
Always meant a lot to me.
Say why. Why has that meant a lot to you?
Because I think that great minds are about innovating. They're about helping people. They're about looking for ways to compress time and make life better. And, you know, and it's what moves the world forward. And I think that they're rare. I think average people get caught up in things and events and all the rest of it. And the thing that annoys me the most, of course, is gossip and drama, which is what I think holds most people back, along with fear, from what they can be and from spending their time on what they should be spending their time on. So I think in one simple sentence, she pretty much sums up the human condition and what you have to change in your daily life to improve your position in the world that we live in.
Well, those are some great insights, and I'm sure that will come forward in the answers to your questions in our interview today, so I'm looking forward to that for sure. Well, share a little bit of your background before you found network marketing. Were you a career person? I know you're a mom. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm a mom, but prior to network marketing, I was in a family business, and didn't love it would be the understatement, but family businesses, and I got into that very young, are somewhat easy to get into and almost impossible to get out of, or at least they seem like they are. And that's what I was doing when I was first introduced to network marketing in what I call round one. And, you know, I was successful. Other people might have said, you know, it looked successful. My favorite saying is, you know, when you win the rat race, you're still a rat. And it looks a lot more glamorous to own a traditional small business, especially a family one, than it is. And it was boring, and it was tedious, and it was aggravating, and along comes network marketing, you know.
And how did it come along? Did a friend call you?
Oh, it's the traditional story. I mean, textbook. My aunt called me. She was so excited. She could barely contain herself. Of course, she had found her fortune, was going to get rich, the whole nine yards, and wanted to come over and show me something. And she did. And she hooked up a water filter to my sink and explained to me how, you know, that the water was going to taste better, and got a commitment from me. It was called a puppy dog approach. You know, for the next week, promise me you're only going to make orange juice with this water from here. You're only going to give this to your pets. Everybody's going to like it so much better. You're going to be amazed. And I did that. And the product was actually very good. And a week later, she came back. And when you gave the pets the regular water that wasn't from the filter, they did put their nose up in the air. The orange juice did taste better. And I asked her how much it was. And she told me it was like $179. And I asked her how much it cost her. And she said $120. I think she made like $59. But that she could get the price down to where she could make as much as $100 a unit. And not knowing anything about network marketing, I was looking at that, trying to figure out in my head how she was going to make this $1 million, Jackie, because I envisioned her running all over town, hooking up water filters and leaving for them for a week. And she said, no, it's network marketing, and you have to understand it. Watch this video. And I watched a video, and I was more confused than ever. It really outlined, and I laugh about this because people don't realize how truly cutting-edge network marketing is, because this is like 25 years ago. And I'm watching this video talking about, you know, the future is bottled water. that right now you don't see very much of it, maybe like one little shelf in a corner of the grocery store, but someday whole aisles are going to be taken over by bottled water. You know, like that's really going to happen, and here we are, and it has. And with this device, it was pennies instead of dollars, and I was still very confused, and she put me on a three-way call with someone who had made a great deal of money in real estate, explained to me that they were making like $30,000 a month. And I'm trying, again, looking at this thing on my sink, figuring she makes at most $100 a unit, trying to connect that to how you could possibly be making $30,000 a month. And he invited me to go to a local meeting. And I went to a meeting, and it was, I sat there, when is this thing going to be over? The worst body language you can imagine, people drawing circles. It went on and on and on. And finally, it was over. And as I got up to leave, the people started lining up to go give their testimonials. So I said, oh, God, more. So I sat down, and as the people started telling their stories, I was impressed, not so much by the money they were making, but they kept talking about freedom. You know, I travel, I work with who I want to work with, you know, I never miss a hockey game of my son's, and that sounded very compelling to me. And I walked out to the lobby to call my husband, and he said, you know, how bad was it? Because before I went, my whole thing was, if I saw anybody I knew, then they couldn't tell anybody because I would have seen them, so we wouldn't admit we'd ever gone to one of those meetings. And I called my husband. He said, how bad was it? And I said, honey, it was worse than you could ever imagine except for one thing. And he said, what? I said, these people are dumber than us, they're uglier than us, and they're making more money than we are, and they're having more fun, so I think we need to look at it. And that was the beginning of my career, if you want to call what I was doing back then a career.
Now, had you had any exposure to network marketing? And if so, did you have a negative blueprint, a positive blueprint? What were your thoughts around network marketing, if you had any?
I really had, the only exposure I'd had, and this is really kind of funny, in college, actually, I was visiting colleges. I was staying with a friend for the weekend, and we were all excited, and she got a phone call. And somebody said to her, you know, she kept looking at me saying, I can't because Lisa's in town. I can't because Lisa's in town. And she got off the phone. I said, what? And she said, well, that was my friend, and there's this wonderful boy she wants me to meet. He just graduated from the University of Chicago, and he's good-looking, and he makes lots of money, and she wanted me to come over and meet him. And I said, I couldn't go because of you. And I said, no, we can go. You go. I'll be by, I can take care of myself. And she called the friend back and said, oh, Lisa can come too. I'll keep her company. And for the next hour and a half, she tried on every outfit in her closet so she would look good for this guy she was going to meet, the blind date. And when we got there, the living room was full of chairs. There were at least a dozen girls who I think also thought they were going to go on a blind date. And out walks a guy who says, you know, hi, my name is whatever it was, Rick. And that he was good looking, and he had just graduated from the University of Chicago. But it was actually a network marketing presentation for that company that none of us ever talk about. You know, the one that starts with an A, and I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. You know, a bunch of girls thinking they were going to meet the boy of their dreams.
But that is hysterical. That is worse. That's worse than like inviting your friends over for a barbecue.
can you imagine? So I didn't have a negative connotation or a positive one. I just kind of walked away going, that was amusing. So I think the thing for me in network marketing, the only exposure I had ever had was, you know, Tupperware, Avon, I'd been to parties. I think I bought some products from a network marketing company that I never knew was a network marketing company because friends were starting businesses, but I never really knew anything about it. So it wasn't negative. It's just when I got to the meeting 25 years ago, it wasn't the people you typically would see at a meeting today. You know, and they kept talking about it like it was crazy. This was after the real estate crash. So there were a lot of serious business people there who were not doing well, but the way they talked about it was, you know, I had this water filter in one hand, this gun in the other, and I figured I'd try this before I blew my brains out and see if at least I could make this work. So I think the general consensus of it was not very well received. I felt, you know, I got into it and hated it initially. I couldn't figure it out. I built a paper empire. I did everything you could do wrong. And my whole thing was that I was going to get to the top so I could quit. Because I didn't want anybody to think that I couldn't do something or that I quit a failure. So I figured if I just get to the top, then I can quit and not, and I can quit and say I did it because I wanted to, not because it beat me. But along the way, I fell in love. as we all do.
I want to backtrack for just a second, and then I want to you know, pick back up there because you made some really good points. But one thing that I picked up on right away is that I don't know how long your aunt has been in the business, and you can certainly share that, but she did a couple of really key things right. Number one, well, she may not have done it right when she first called with the invitation.
No, she did really everything she was right. You know, she demoed
but
the product. She gave me the video. She was third party. She invited me to the meeting. She never tried to answer questions herself, which she couldn't have because she'd been in about an hour, maybe 3 days when she called me.
Well, and that was kind of my point. I mean, she used the video tool. She used her upline, a three-way call. She got you to a meeting. She did all those things right. So either she had great training from her upline or she just was intuitive and picked up on it. But, wow, that's really pretty amazing because 25 years ago, we didn't even have that many great third-party tools. You know what I mean? There was a whole lot of
mistakes video.
Made because, yeah, we didn't have stuff. Wow.
You know, it was so
That's
long
impressive.
Ago that I played the video in my Betamax.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, based on that, how did you launch your business? What steps did you take right away to get things going?
Oh, I didn't understand the model. You know, I think when everybody gets involved, they think, you know, you go get a lot of people, and then they go get a lot of people, and it just automatically happens. I knew nothing about depth. I knew that I wanted to get to a certain position, and I sort of built it myself. I sponsored like 50 people, way more than anybody should sponsor in the very beginning, because had they all wanted to work, which, by the way, they didn't, but had they all wanted to work, how could you possibly work with 50 people yourself when you just get started in something you don't know? And I built a paper empire. I got the position. It collapsed. I made myself the issue. All the things that you shouldn't do in network marketing. But after that, I decided to become a student of the industry because I understand business, and I figured if I could understand the model and figure out, you know, I understood the mechanics of what you're supposed to do, but if I could understand the model and exactly how it worked, because I heard what most people's objections were, that I could make it work and I could go help people. And that's really what started to make me fall in love with the industry because there's – what industry in the world or profession, you know, Eric likes me to say profession, what profession in the world do you know of that truly the more you help people, the better you're able them to excel and get better at what they're doing, the more money that you make? I mean, it's the wildest thing. In a traditional world, you might want to tell all of your top secrets to your friends or to your competitors, but you can't. You run the risk of putting yourself out of business because it's such a competitive territorial, you know, atmosphere. And when I realized what network marketing was capable of, that you could literally build a global empire from a spare bedroom in your house and today from a smartphone in your hand, I was captivated.
When you say you built a paper empire, would you explain that?
Okay. You know how when you are when you're a brownie, you want to get all the badges? Well,
yeah.
I knew that I wanted to be in that particular company, it was a fifth dimension, but call it gold, call it diamond, whatever it was. I wanted to be the Starfleet commander. So I drew out what it takes to be a Starfleet commander. And in any company's compensation plan, if it's perfectly positioned, maybe you could be a Starfleet commander with 125 people that do X, who each sponsor two. But in reality, if you build it, you'll probably have more like 2,000 people and a really solid business when you actually get there. But I pretty much sponsored all the people or found all the people myself and said, okay, you'll go here and you'll go here and you'll go there and you'll go there and you'll go there so that I could get that pin because I was more excited and driven to get the title and the pin that seemed like what you should do than I was really understanding that it was about building a business. Network marketing isn't about sales. I mean, it is about sharing product and people consuming product, and there are a lot of people that choose to do that and not the business. But the business itself isn't about selling something to somebody, which is a monologue. It's about, you know, a conversation in which you transfer your belief and somebody says, hey, I see what you see. Let's lock arms and go change the world together. And I didn't understand that in the beginning. So I was doing great presentations to sell people on how great a business this would be for them, and nobody really understood what the business was. So they got into it thinking if they bought all this product, they were in business. And you're not. It's not about you buying a lot of product. It's about getting the product into the marketplace for people to try and marketing to your network. I think I forgot, didn't understand that network marketing was not about selling big packages to your network. It's about marketing to your network, through your network, to find those that are looking for you.
That's a beautiful explanation. I love that. So did any of those 50 people go to work?
Kind of, because back then, you know, I understood they brought them all to me. That's what I meant by I made myself the issue so I could do my great presentation. So I was able to drive it two, maybe three levels deep with like the country club type of network marketing where I became the issue and everybody had to talk to me and if I would do the presentation. So they sort of went to work, but they never went to school because I never went to school. And that's what I finally realized. Network marketing is a business where you get to earn while you learn, but there are no shortcuts to success. There's just a path you can choose to follow fast or slow. So that will dictate how the speed with which you achieve what you want. But you can't skip the steps. You know, you can't go to fifth grade without going to first, second, third, and fourth, because if you do very quickly, you'll get along for a while, you will be sent back to first grade because you just don't have the experience and education to play the game at the level you think you should be playing at. And that was a big paradigm shift for me.
So you mentioned you kind of made a decision. Well, number one, you ultimately, you hated it and then you fell in love with it, but you went to school. So talk about what was a defining moment for you that made you go to school and made you realize that the business knowledge that you had from the past wasn't going to serve you so much moving forward with this, and that you needed some help.
When I realized the strength of network marketing, the beauty of network marketing, is not right now money. Certainly, the model is designed to enable somebody to make some money when they get started, but that should really be from taking your product and finding some people that want to use it and starting a little business. But the real money and the real future and the freedom comes from indirect, that business that is created that you do not touch down the road. When you have business that is occurring while you are sleeping in cities you are not in, meetings that are taking place that you yourself are not conducting. And that's very atypical of traditional business. You know, so it's a sweat equity business. You will see the results of what you do 90, 120 days from now. And I realized that I hadn't built anything. You know, I had sold a lot of product, but there was nothing that was ongoing. There was nothing that was recurring. I had accumulated a bunch of transactions to achieve a title. And when I began to understand what the business really was, I decided to go learn it, and I went to the best. You know, anybody, and that's a mistake I think a lot of people make, Jackie, is if you want to learn how to do anything in life, go to somebody who's doing it well and learn what they did. And I had the very good fortune of being mentored and being around some of the very best in the industry at that time, still are today, and they told me, this is what you do. And they said, Lisa, don't change anything. Don't interrupt until you're making $10,000 a month consistently, persistently, and you have people making money. And then you can change anything you want, but what you'll find is you're not going to change anything, because all the people that are persistently, consistently having success over time and able to do it again and again are following the same format, the same methodologies, because technology may change, human nature doesn't. Some things work and achieve a result that you're not going to be happy with, and the people that are getting the results that you want are all doing the same things, and they were.
Yeah, makes sense. So you obviously you went to school, you started learning the business model, and what changes did you make? What did you adapt into your business, and how did your daily actions and that type of stuff change in moving forward?
Well, I learned a bunch of things. From a looking at the business mechanics side of it, say less to more people. Never, ever, ever present to your own prospects. Always use third party. Because it's not about what you can do, it's about what duplicates. And every time that somebody is looking at a business, and I think this was the big light bulb for me, from the minute they hear the name of your company, that's when their education and training begins. And people are doing one of two things from the moment it starts. And either one may result in them signing up, but you will get very different results on what they do from that day forward. One is people are looking at what they're seeing going, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that, which is what you want. The other is they're looking at it going, gosh, this is a great business, but I can't do what she's doing. I can't do that. I can't do that. So once I figured that out, you know, anybody can put somebody on a three-way call. So can I present like Jackie Elmer when I'm just starting? Of course not. But can I get anybody to a meeting that Jackie Elmer's doing or to watch a video that she's done or on a three-way call with her if I've risen to the point where she's got time to do a three-way call with me? Yes. So my new person's going, I can invite somebody to a meeting. I can put somebody on a three-way call. I can show somebody a video. I can. And that magic happens when you get people to have that type of response. The alternative is you put them in an audience where you're doing the presentation. Maybe you've been doing this 5 years. Maybe you're not, it's not that you're so good, it's that you've done 1,000 meetings, and at meeting 1,000, you're pretty proficient at it. And they look at you and they say, God, to be successful, I got to be able to go up there next week and do the meeting. I can't do that. And they're immobilized by fear, and then they want to spend all their time getting great before they talk to anybody instead of just going out and talking to people. So I think that was the biggest light bulb for me.
So how did that shift? Did you notice that you started having a lot more success? Did your business really take off?
Actually, it did, and then life got in the way. So I sort of took a step back from network marketing for a while. That was round one. I mean, I did have a lot of success. Left that company, that original company, at the top of it, but it didn't have a consumable product, and it really wasn't me. And I did two more things over the next number of years. I had my kids, and yeah, I reached the top of the next company that I really got involved with. I reached the top pretty quickly, and I had a lot of people having a lot of success because it took on great duplication. Because the second thing I learned was it's really not about me, it's about them. And for so many people, that's a difficult thing to understand. You know, when you sit down with somebody or you're talking to somebody, it's not about what you want, it's about what they want. Not what you want for them. And you're not looking to get people in your business, you're looking to have the right people join your business. And that's a big distinction. And I just started learning that if you really make it about the other person and asking questions, that eventually you get to the point where you can get almost anybody to look with an open mind. And if you can get them to do that, you know, a lot of people will say no, but certainly use the product. And a lot of people will say yes, and they'll be the right people. And for me, my whole business for the last 20 years, everything I've ever done has been built around three questions. Are you happy? And not are you happy, are you having a good day, but are you happy? Are you where you want to be in life? Is life meeting its expectations? You know, is the road you're on going to get you where you want to go? And when most people, eventually, the answer is no. You know, it's not. They're not. They're not totally satisfied with life. My second question is always, do you have a plan? What do you mean? Well, you're not happy. Do you have a plan to change that? And I ask that question, and you need to be asking people that question, whoever's listening, not because you want to know if they have a plan. They don't have a plan. They wouldn't be talking to you if they did. But you're helping them to connect that they're not happy and know they don't have a plan. And the next question is, would you like to see one? It's probably not for you, although I'm sure you're going to love the product. And my entire career for the last 20 years stems back to those three questions and keeping it simple and making it about the other person.
Those are brilliant questions. I love that. Well, you mentioned that life got in the way and you had to take a step backwards, so I'm going to assume that's some challenges and obstacles that maybe you had to overcome. Tell us
Absolutely.
A little more about that.
Okay, well, I was never in network marketing full-time in anything that we've discussed up until now. Now, I don't want to mislead people. When I say I was part-time, I was working very, very diligently at it, but I had another business. So, you know, it wasn't my only focus. And that other business was a family-owned business. We discussed, you know, that earlier, didn't care for it much. And it got into some issues with the federal government. And for those that are listening, please know it had nothing to do with direct selling or network marketing. And it was a business owned by my mother. And, you know, at one time, the government, and this story is online for anybody that wants to see it, but the end result was the government had come to me, given me the opportunity to testify against my mother. I'm a nice Jewish girl from a tribe, and that was something that would not even enter into the realm of possibility. I might as well have had to move to Madagascar and change my name. And eventually, you know, they indicted my husband, put pressure on me, And I made a deal with the federal government to resolve the whole thing. And I ended up going to spend 12 months, 12 days in a federal prison camp in late 1997. And I was there, and prior to that, during when a lot of that was going on, and I took a step back, I did do a lot of consulting in network marketing while I was dealing with attorneys and dealing with the government. And it was when I got out, after, you know, spending a year in that, I say God put me in a time, you know, sent me to time out and having, going through that year experience and getting some very good advice from the chaplain in that prison camp, that I came back to network marketing. Because where else was I going to go? And I came back to it initially to consult. You know, I called, I had made a lot of great contacts and said, you know, I think I can help your business. I think I can fix your comp plan. I think I can help do this, that, or the other thing. And it was amazing, the people that stepped up to help me, you know, in this profession. I mean, it was just incredible. And I did that for a few years. And then one of the companies that I was helping, you know, said, do you want to go out and tell the story? Because you know a lot of people and you seem to understand it and we have to get this off the ground. And I said, you know, I think so. Why not? And the magic happened. I mean, it was the right timing. I was hungry. I wanted to support my family. I believed in it. The person I was working with had a vision of going global. It sounded exotic. And as timing and circumstance and belief and all of those things come together, it was an amazing career took off. The first year I made $1 million. It took me all over the world. I lived in Asia for 4 years. And here we are today. You know, that was about 12 years ago. And so many careers and so many wonderful things have grown out of that experience that I now suffer from what I call TB, true believerism. Nobody can tell me that network marketing is not the way. Nobody can tell me that it doesn't work. And nobody can tell me that it doesn't give you the opportunity to make your own dreams and the dreams of others come true if you'll just apply the principles and work it properly.
So what was that 12 months like? You say you kind of had a mandatory timeout. What did you do during that 12 months?
Well, the first 3 months, I took self-pity to an art form because I think, you know, I'm one of those go-home or go-big personalities, and I was wallowing in self-pity, as we often do. And, you know, I don't know that I was to blame for all that happened, but I certainly was responsible, and it took me 3 months to come to terms with that. Nobody held a gun to my head. I was in that business. And in life, it's not a blame is a wasted emotion, but when you accept responsibility for where you're at, it's very freeing. So the next 9 months, I realized that much to my chagrin, yes, the world does go on without you, the sun will rise, people do survive. And once I came to terms with that, I wanted to make every day count. I had made a friend there, and when I started to realize how just miserable I was, and was, you know, in my thinking and to be around, and I realized there was another group of people that really weren't, I went and talked to somebody I had great respect for, and she said to me, you know, Lisa, how much time do you have left here? And I said, you know, 9 months. And she said, well, here's the thing. 9 months is going to show up no matter how you spend them. The question you have to ask yourself is, when 9 months from today, when you look back, how do you want to have spent the time? What kind of a story do you want to tell about the time you spent? Because the time either does you or you do the time. And if you do the time, you have control. Because what I learned is, very much like life, liberty someone can take from you. That was my ability to come and go as I pleased. But how you choose to respond, that freedom, everybody has. And if you look at people in life that are successful and those that aren't, that come out of the same circumstance, it will always go back to how they chose to respond to the things that they could not control. And at that point, I just made the most of the situation. I mean, I hate to say I had a lot of fun, but I really did. Because once you realize that you're where you're at, I read 365 books. I played sports. I'm not much of an athlete. I decided I wanted to run 5 miles before I left, which would not sound all that shocking, except for the fact that I had never run a city block. And I remember, you know, the first time that I walked the longs and ran the short of a quarter-mile track. I remember when I ran the long and you know, walk the short. I remember the first quarter mile I ran. I never made it to 5 miles because of the bad weather set in Bryan, Texas, but I got to 3.5. And I started to really understand the things that we teach. It doesn't matter how badly you want to run 5 miles or how badly you want to succeed on day one. Unless you have a bear chasing you, you are going to have to develop over time and get better each day, and things take time. And the whole experience reminded me of the industry, because all these people from different backgrounds going, I was in a camp. It wasn't like Orange is the New Black. There were no bars. You know, it was all, you know, judges and doctors and drug dealers' girlfriends. But nonetheless, all these people from all these different backgrounds thrown into the same situation. Everybody gets the same clothes. Nobody knows, cares where you come from. Everybody gets a job. And you get to watch all these people, as it's the great equalizer, and how they respond to being in this situation. And that's kind of like network marketing. Your past, what you've done in the past can certainly help you or hurt you or whatever you make of it. But network marketing is a level playing field that doesn't care where you come from. It just cares what you're going to do with the experience.
What did you learn? What did you learn about yourself during that time?
Oh, that I wasn't as important as I thought I was, but that I also wasn't as fragile as I thought I was. That life goes on. That we're all far too dramatic about too many things. Because my kids were healthy. It was a year out of my life. I didn't have cancer. It wasn't that big a deal. It was certainly life changing. It was certainly emotional, but not all that I made it out to be, which brings back to response. And I also learned that at the end of the day, you have to be who you are, whoever that is, and that some people are going to like you and some people are not going to like you. But the only thing I was ever going to be good at was being Lisa Grossman. That was my only shot to be really great at something, was being the best Lisa Grossman I could be. And I think that that's really where I learned that.
Did you run into any challenges then coming out and, you know, having to share? I mean, I know you went into consulting and that type thing, but were there ever any challenges with sharing, you know, that you had this
for me,
time
there
and
really
I don't know?
Because I got, I'm sorry to interrupt. For me, not
no,
really,
no.
Because I got some really good advice, you know, and that advice was that, and it's true, nobody tells your sins and nobody tells your story the way that you do. And people figured that if I was honest about that, what was I going to lie about? And the other thing that was interesting is that people really genuinely want to help other people. People want the opportunity to be a hero in someone else's story. I had so many people step up to help me, give me jobs, give me assignments and things to do when I was first starting out, that I used to laugh and say, I bet they went home and told their wife they helped somebody, you know, start over today. Or they went and told their husband, I feel good because I gave somebody, helped somebody on their second chance today. And it really restored my faith in people. Because we're often afraid of what people are going to think of us. But people respect honesty and transparency. And at least you know what you've got. You know, if somebody has a problem with it, then that's great because you can move on to somebody that doesn't, instead of stressing yourself out about what if they find out. So I was very upfront about it. It wasn't like it was a secret. I mean, I made the 6 o'clock news in Dallas before, when all this was going on, before I went away. And I never imagined that it would become a story that people would find inspirational. Certainly never imagined that I would, you know, be able to start with nothing, go back to network marketing and make $1 million a year in a year. But it ended up becoming, I think, a large part of my success. I mean, I get asked to tell that story all over the world, and I think that it proves that network marketing, that you can do anything here.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny, I think that so many people put themselves in prison with their own decisions, and they never even realize that there's no door that locked behind them.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that people are a victim of, well, I think the problem is that people, we all suffer from a disease, everybody. We're all at different stages of it, but it's called terminal comparison. And what people tend to do is they look at somebody like you and they view your highlights reel. And they look at themselves and they view their bloopers reel. So in any situation like that, you're always going to feel less than and like you come up short, and you don't realize till you open up and start sharing your story that everybody feels that way at some point or another. And people are not that scary.
No, they
They're
really
just
aren't.
People.
Did you have a growing business while you were in prison?
Actually, I had put together a business. I worked very hard, and I had put together a group of people in a particular company to make sure that my family would have a residual income with a company that I had consulted for, and got very nervous about it before I left. Went and saw the owner. You know, there's a lot of great people in this industry. You hear horror stories, but and said, you know, I just have this feeling that this is something's going to happen here, and he assured me that nothing would. And 3 weeks to the day after I left, they terminated my distributorship for non-support of my group. So the answer is I did have one, and I lost it 3 weeks into the when I was there. And it was difficult, but again, my family survived. My husband was here. Pretty much all the money I had been spent on lawyers, but, you know, they survived. And when I got out, I had to make something happen and then, you know, went to work. And you'd be amazed when you really have no choices and you have things that you have to get done, how much you can get done. I think a lot of people don't realize that. They always say, well, how did you do this and how did you do that? How did you go from earning $200,000 in a year in network marketing, you know, at this stage of your life, and all of a sudden you go back to the industry, you make $1 million in a year. I didn't get five times better overnight. I just had an understanding of what was important and what wasn't. So when you say, did I learn anything, I'll add that. Don't major in minor things. And don't get caught up in minutia because it doesn't serve you or anybody you're trying to help. And I was deadly serious about keeping the main thing, because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, definitely. If you had to name three primary skills that a person needs to develop in order to be successful, and I like to say develop because most of us aren't born with these skills. They can be developed. What would those three – pardon me?
I agree with you there.
Yeah. So what would those three skills be that you would suggest?
Listening. I think that listening is the most important skill that you can develop in any business, but particularly this one. And I think it's interesting because so many people are always so worried about what to say, and the best listener will always have the most successful business because they will know what to say based on what other people say to them. So I think listening is the number one skill that has to be developed. I think patience is important because Rome wasn't built in a day, and you can make money in a day. That's a transaction. But building a business is a vastly different thing than just making money. And it takes time for something to take root. It takes time for values to embed themselves. It takes time for behaviors, good behaviors, to become habits. And I think the third one is consistency. I don't think it's about knocking it out of the park on the first day. I think it's about it's about really being consistent in what you're doing. And if I can add a fourth, I don't know if it's a skill or not, but you truly have to believe in the vision of what you're creating, which is how the consistency is able to apply itself.
So how does one develop that belief, especially if they kind of come in with a negative blueprint? It's interesting. A lot of people have a bad opinion of network marketing, and then they have a life change. Something happens in their life, and all of a sudden they see the potential in, and that's certainly my story. So what would be a way that a person develops that belief and overcomes that negative mindset?
Well, I think first it starts with tolerance and understanding. You know, most people do not understand what network marketing is, and that's okay. I don't understand, you know, I kind of know what a doctor is, but I'm certainly not qualified to go operate on anybody. I didn't go to medical school. And so I think that that's part of it. I think the real belief, Jackie, is not about belief in a company or belief in the industry. I think ultimately it comes down to people's relationship with themselves. I think that they doubt their own ability to do something that they don't understand, and they should, you know, because everything you have to learn. But they somehow have an expectation that this is not something that you have to develop skills and learn, so they think they should understand it in the first five games, like we're all playing Monopoly or something. So I think that part of the belief comes from respect. The respect that this is a business, that the people that are achieving, you know, amazing life-changing incomes are not doing it because they're the greatest salesperson in the world and they're not able to achieve it because they figured it out in 15 minutes. They're highly committed and dedicated to helping people change their lives. And if they really would sit down and interview those people and understand what the sacrifices that they made and how much of their life belongs to the service of others and how many events and things they are at that really financially they don't need to be at, but they're there because of all the people that help put them at this place they are in life, then they start to understand what it is they're actually involved in. But the real belief comes to believing in themselves and understanding that it's okay and that you will crawl before you walk and walk before you run, because universal truths apply in network marketing just like everywhere else.
Very good. Love that. Love that. So I know one thing that was fun, and the first time that I met you was last year at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals event, and we shared the stage on the social media panel, and I love it because I always say I'm not a technical person either, and you definitely say that.
So, I'm also laughing that I was a social media expert. It's on my resume now.
Well, it's
from
funny
that
because
event.
You use social media. Yeah, you use it. So tell us how you incorporate that into your business and your life and how that plays out for you.
And I'll tell you, it's really funny that you should say that, because it wasn't until that event that I understood that I do use social media. For the longest time, I thought that internet marketing and social media were two names for the same thing. And I knew I wasn't an internet marketer because I don't understand anything about web pages or capture pages or autoresponders, don't have any of them. But that's not social media. Social media is really just being who you are online. You know, I have a Facebook page, and it's mostly my Facebook profile is pretty much my travels and motivational stuff that I like that I think other people will enjoy. And then I have a fan page that is pretty much the same. But for me, people contact me all the time, and I respond. You know, and I have conversations with them. They might be in a Facebook chat. They might be on a Google Hangout. They might be, you know, on Skype. But really, it's just another format in which to interact with people. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is presentation is something that you do at a meeting so someone can understand the business. And that's good. But even a great presentation has to be conversational and involve the audience. But once you're out of the presentation, everything in network marketing is interactive and conversational. It's about people relating to people and people coming together and giving people something to belong to, which is really all that most people want. And the internet, when used properly, if the messaging is correct, is just an ability to reach more people more efficiently, quicker. If the messaging is wrong, you'll just get to fail in front of a bigger audience, you know, faster. So I just use it to extend my reach. But I don't do anything differently with computers or any of the things today than I've always done, any differently than when it went from fax on demand to email to instant whatever it is today, or went from a phone call to a Skype call. It's better. It's more connective. But the content is pretty much the same as it's always been.
Well, you summed that up beautifully, and I love that. Thank you for that. And speaking of events, we met at an event. How important do you think events are to a person's success?
I think events are everything for so many reasons. But here's the main one. Most people will get into network marketing, and probably, you know, the majority of people are part-time. Most people are not making the huge incomes, and that's by their choice and what they choose to do. And if somebody gets into network marketing, wants to make $100 and makes $100, I celebrate that because that's a success. But events are what make it real, and they will connect us as people. And what most people are looking for, you know, the last time the average person had somebody clap for them was when they walked across the stage at a high school graduation. And most people get caught up in their day-to-day lives. And network marketing events give them the opportunity to really be around other people, to get the big picture, to understand that it's more than this product or this amount of money or what your sponsor told you or what you can see today. They are uplifting. They expand vision. They give you the opportunity to connect with the best of the best. And if I've learned anything in the last 2 years, the way to get better at anything is to get around more people that are better at it. And nowhere do you have better opportunities to expand your vision, tie down your belief, connect with people that can help you, find people in other markets that you can, you know, support, and they can support you so that you can take your business nationally, than at events. Events are the business. Everything else is just getting ready for and getting people in front of and taking people to them.
Very good. What would be your number one book? I know that you're probably like me and you have a million, but what would be the number one book of choice that our listeners absolutely must read?
Right now, I would have to say it's GoPro, Eric Worre's seven steps to network marketing success, because it is so simplifies the fundamental skills to build a business in a way that I think people can understand them and apply them. So for that regard, you know, for the how-tos, absolutely, that would be my number one choice. For the mind expansion, you're going to laugh, but The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
I'd love that. No, I wouldn't laugh at all. I think those books are just amazing. They're certainly for adults. They may seem like kids' books, but they're meant for us. So
every time somebody starts a new business or starts a new career, I think they laugh at me because everyone else is sending them all the Harvard Business Review Book of the Weeks, and I'm sending them The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
Perfect. So if you were just starting today, which you kind of have done this, but if you were just starting today with the knowledge that you already have about how to be successful in network marketing, what would you do to build your business? What would your first 30 days look like?
Okay, very simply. The first thing that I would do, and the most important building block for me, is whatever the biggest package of product that the company would allow me to get, I would get, and I would immediately move it to my hot market. And hot market is not your warm market, it's your hot market. These are the people that love you so much that they trust your business judgment not at all. This is the family and friends that everybody says they don't want to talk to about a business. And when you're just starting out, you're right, don't talk to them about a business. But they are your best network to market to. They're there to help and support you, and I would go ask for their help. Just like when I was a Girl Scout. When you're young, you ask them to buy your Girl Scout cookies and try them. When you're older, you ask them to become your test studies in network marketing. Buy the month supply. Use it for a month. If you like it, fantastic. I need your testimonial. You can become my customer. If you don't, I'll never ask for your help again, but right now I need your help. Because the number one thing that holds people back is, what do I do with all this product? I'm afraid to talk to people. Once that product's gone, they've got a story, and they're bulletproof. Nobody can tell them it can't be done. They've done it. If they've done it once, they can do it again. And most importantly, if they've done it, they can teach it to someone else. So once that's done, we then turn to the warm market, and I just go out and ask people, are you happy? Do you have a plan? Do you want to see one? What happened for you, Lisa? I don't know that much. I just got in the business, but I love the product. I ordered, 20 bottles of it. I was out of product before it showed up and had my money back because I went to my family and friends to help me. And now I'm calling you because I'm excited, but I've been in it for 3 days. So why don't you go, let me get you on the phone with Jackie, or let's go look at this website, or let's go look at this video, because I just know that the product works and that I'm excited and that there are people smarter than me that can help you because I just got started. And then I would, are you happy? Do you have a plan? Do you want to see one? Are you happy? Do you have a plan? Do you want to see one? Products, the plan may not be for you, but I know you're going to love the product. Almost everybody does. And when I found somebody that saw what I saw, I helped them go do the same thing and drill it down 4 or 5 levels. And when I felt like they were comfortable, I'd go start with another person over and over and over again.
How long do you give someone? That brings up another question for me. How long do you give someone? So you sponsor someone. You're ready to get started with them. I mean, we all have those people who don't do anything. How long do you wait, so to speak?
I don't.
And what indicators
are
you looking for?
I have a different tack on that. I believe you have to do A before you do B, and B before you do C, and just call me crazy and old that way. I think it comes from raising children. So when I bring some, when I spend time with people on the front end, because I think that it all comes down to specificity. So if I'd sponsored you, we would have gone over the plan. And let's say, and I'd say, okay, we're going to move this product to your hot market, and you should, let's get that done in the next 36 hours. Does that sound okay for you? Call me when you've got that done or if you need any help, and I put you in my book for 36 hours later. Now, some people will call me, and they'll say, you know, it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, let's go over it. You made your list of your hot market, right? And you'd be surprised, Jackie, but I swear 60% of the time it's like, okay, so we didn't make the list. That's okay. But if you're not going to follow the proven plan of success, how can I help you be successful? So were you serious or curious? Because if you're serious, we need to get this done. And what I do is I allow people to let me know if they are the 85% with which I need to work in group or if they are the 15% with which I need to work with one-on-one. And their performance will always tell me. So I'm not really giving people so much amount of time. If they're not, if you like work there right now, I'd say, well, that's great, Jackie. It's your business. It's not mine. So, you know, here's where the meetings are. Here's the weekly hangouts. Here's this, this, that, and the other thing. And when you get to a point that you want to get off the bench, you know, and you want to be in the starting lineup, you let me know. But in the meantime, we've got all this stuff going on in group. So it's really up to the person as to how much of my attention they're going to get, really not up to me at all.
That's great. I love that. That leaves no room for question by anybody, and that's important. Where can we go to learn more about you, Lisa?
Oh, my fan page that we just put up. I do have some, there's a bunch of videos online if you Google me that other people have interviews, but I have a fan page and we're sort of putting stuff up there. It's facebook.com/YVPLG, and you can like my fan page and you can click on a tab. Diane and everybody just attached an AWeber thing to it where I'm actually going to start a newsletter. I don't really know how to work it yet, but it's coming. I'm getting to the next level of social media.
I love it. Yay, good for you, and good for all of us to have that
chance to connect with you. At 52, who knows? By the time I'm 60, I may have a capture page.
Very good. Well, you know what? The train never leaves the station is what I was told once, if you're really serious, and I love that. Like, you know, you can't miss it. You can jump in at any time, and you haven't missed the boat.
I've always believed that. The world is full of
Very
people,
cool.
And there are always people who are looking to change their lives financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And network marketing is a wonderful vehicle for people to be in business and sales. It's the old cliche, for themselves, but certainly not by themselves.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being here today. It's just been a thrill for me to spend this time with you and to have the privilege of sharing your story with the listeners. And you know, it's amazing. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you want to share? Oh, yeah.
Final thoughts. Well, I love doing it. I'm thrilled that you asked me. I'd love to do many more things and be on many stages with you because, as I said, I've always been and continue to be a huge fan. And I'm excited because I think I get to see you next month, right?
Yes, you do. I'm looking forward
to
that. We'll definitely connect and it'll be awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, and thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
And thank you. Bye, everybody.
Wow. So there we have it, Lisa Grossman's amazing story, and I know that you probably feel the same way that I do. It's just amazing, and it really eliminates any objections or little whininess that we may have about challenges in our business. Remember that you can find the show notes over at JackieAlmer.com/061. That'll be the show notes. And I hope that you'll take some actionable items out of the call tonight. Start with the three questions that she asks people. Are you happy? Again, you'll find those in the show notes. Remember what she does with moving product into the hot market. That's so, so powerful. Moving that product into the hot market and then going to work with the warm market with those questions. Remember using tools just like her aunt did. Her aunt did a very powerful thing and modeled a great experience for Lisa, even though Lisa didn't necessarily grab hold of it, she modeled something great in the beginning, you know, calling her, getting her in front of a video, a three-way call, into a meeting, just different things like that. And, you know, just really develop that belief in our profession, that belief in yourself that you can do it. As we mentioned, the Association of Network Marketing Professionals event is coming up. It's in Dallas, Texas, this March 27th through the 30th. Lisa and I will both be there. Looking forward to meeting you, and we hope we'll see you there. If you have questions for the podcast, you can contact me over at jackiealmer.com/question. And if this has been helpful, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please help us get the word out. Help elevate the profession of network marketing and help get some other people some good solid training and some inspiration. If you would go over to iTunes or over on Stitcher, wherever you listen, and rate and review the podcast, that would be awesome. You can go right into your iTunes store, find podcasts, type in Jackie Almer podcast or Profit in Your PJs, and give me 5 stars and a review if you like what you hear. I truly appreciate you, and I will see you next week. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, jackiealmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieAlmer. See you on the next show, and have a fun, profitable week.